reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." My dear friends, the Gospel of the Lord. What are the things that you would normally do, for example, if you would be invited to a party or to a celebration or to a banquet? So as soon as you get into the hall or as you get into the house of the host, what is the first thing that you would normally do? Of course, greet the host, right? Definitely show the very fact that you are there, you're happy to be there. And I would say that the first thing that you would do after greeting the host is you would look around and look for familiar faces, right? But for Father Liam, he would look around and look for where the food is and see what's being served. My dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the last couple of Sundays, he always uses that image of a banquet, the wedding banquet, being invited to a banquet, joining, you know, with others after a meal. And there's always a reason why. After this particular instance right now, it's one of the last that's being recorded before the Last Supper. Okay? And so he uses the image of a banquet. Why? Because it is a strong symbol of what heaven is. Everyone is invited to the banquet. And you will see for the last couple of Sundays, first, it's very important for you to be dressed for the invitation. If you are invited to the banquet, to the wedding feast, what do? You have to be prepared. You have to dress well. You have to be in a proper disposition. And same goes here, though. In our gospel today, it somehow takes in a different view of it. Of course, everybody's invited to that banquet, but recognize and notice here, my dear friends, that our Lord Jesus Christ was not only conversing and eating with sinners. He was not only eating with prostitutes and with tax collectors, right? He was also eating with the rich people, with the few. And here, in our gospel, he's at the home of one of the leading Pharisee, one of the head honcho in their society. Okay? And notice also that as soon as he got there, what was the first thing that the people were doing? They were observing him carefully. When we would go to a party, it was the natural thing. You're happy that you are there. You enjoy the company of the people there, right? And of course, when it's time to eat, you enjoy the food. You tell stories. You share stories, right? But these people, they didn't. What did they do? They were observing our Lord Jesus Christ carefully. Why? Because they were hoping that he would mess up so that they would accuse him of something. And when you look at the life of the Pharisee, and it's one of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ would focus on and emphasize, right? Especially in his preaching. And normally he would say that you have to avoid any Pharisaic attitude. For the Pharisees, my dear friends, it's not only during the time of our Lord Jesus, but even now. A lot of times, some of us fall into a Pharisaic attitude. What does that mean, a Pharisaic attitude? We fall under that attitude of pride, The first parable here you will see that our Lord Jesus Christ addresses it to who? The first part. He addresses it to the guest, right? And how about the second part of the parable here? Who does he address the parable to? The what? The who? The host. Okay? So the first one are the guests, and the second one are the host. But in these parables that he addresses, right, there are two lessons that we have to learn. First, he says, as he was noticing the people going to the place of honor, that's one of the first things that they would always go to. Why? Because honor was very important for them. Honor and shame. And definitely, they always want honor. Because whenever you have honor, definitely you are in the highest echelon of society. You're in that status. That is your status. Honor. And the closer you sit to the host, it means that it says that that's the status that you have in society. So the closer you are to the host, the higher your status is. But when you talk about humility, he says, if you go to a banquet, do not sit immediately to the highest post, highest seat of honor, because you might be embarrassed when the host tells you, go to the lowest place. Take the lowest place first. And if the host sees you, he'll say, come up. Then you will be honored. So what does he say? What does it have to do with the kingdom of God? Definitely, my dear friends, all of us must always seek for the honor of the kingdom of God. But in order for us to be able to seek that honor, we have to be humble first. What is humility? Humility, as Rick Warren would say, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but it is thinking of ourselves less. And there's a big difference. Humility is not about being egocentric. It's not about me. I'm not the center of the universe. But humility means being Christocentric. Christ must be the center. You know, talking about the lowest place and the highest place, I would say that a lot of Catholics, you know, especially when they come to church, they really take this particular gospel to heart. You know why? Because when they come into the church, they would always choose the seat at the back. If you look at the church, there's not too many people in front. But when it comes to humility, my dear brothers and sisters, it is definitely a struggle to be humble. But as they say, when you tell to yourself that you are humble, you are no longer humble. But there are three things that I would like to share with you that could also help you, that could be a gauge for you if you are straying away from the virtue of humility. First, you know that you're straying away from the virtue of humility if you always have that attitude of entitlement. Our gospel today says, our Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us, do not forward yourself in the sight of God. Do not feel that you're self-entitled because you're pious. Do not feel that you are entitled because you know the law, because you know theology, you know what the church teaches. That's what the Pharisees were. The Pharisees, they were all about the externals, they were all about the piety, they were all about practicing the law, but it was all about externality. There was no deepening within them. It's only a matter of following. And same goes when you feel that you're entitled just because you do this and that, then therefore, you will not be welcome in the kingdom of God. You will not be honored. You will be shamed. And sometimes we fall in that just because we are pious, just because we do certain things, just because we know a lot, we know the truth, we know some things about the church, we feel that we are entitled. Nah. If you feel that way, you're straying away from the virtue of humility. That's the first one. The second one is when you have the tendency of criticizing others, being judgmental towards others, you fail to see the good in others and in things. And whenever you fail to see the good in things, then therefore you also fail to be grateful. And even sometimes we fall for that. Yeah, you don't only talk about your neighbor, you only don't talk about family members, you know. But even though, like for example, after church, you know, and people would ask you, so, how was Mass? Well, it was good. It was fine. But the church could be better if Father Liam would do something about this healing. What did you learn? I mean, what was the lesson during the readings? Well, I mean, the reading I understood, but sometimes, you know, the lectors, they do not read it with their full heart. They do as if they do not mean it. Well, how about the homily? Well, Father Liam's homily was good, but he does not know when to stop. You know? How about the choir? Well, the choir was okay, but as if they are trying to do a concert, and I can't sing with them. But how was everything, the whole celebration? Well, I tried to listen, I tried to be attentive, but there was this lady right next to me, and the baby and her baby kept crying. It's always about others. You think of others, you criticize others, but you don't look into yourself first. And that's when you'll know that you are straying away from the virtue of humility. It's all about looking at the mistakes and the weaknesses of others. But it is very difficult for you to look at your own flaws, at your own mistakes, at your own weaknesses. That's the second one. And the third one, my dear friends, is definitely we fail. There's a tendency for us to stray away from the virtue of humility when we do not know how to be happy for the accomplishments of others. When we do fail to be happy for others, instead of encouraging, we discourage. And so therefore, we fall in what? We fall in jealousy, envy. And this is very common, my dear friends, especially when you look through your social media. Oh boy, you know? That's where a lot of people fall and stray away from humility. When they receive a comment, a single bash, you know, they all get angry. You know, humility flies out of the window. Or whenever they don't get a like, or they don't get a heart, or whatever, or they don't do comments, right? That's where we fail, especially in the kind of world that we live in. And so therefore, we have to be careful, my dear friends. So, what are those gauges? First, definitely, we have to learn to be humble. Humble, meaning we have to learn to be grounded. And we also stray from humility, especially in the married life, my dear brothers and sisters. And how do we stray from humility? Let's say, for example, your spouse does something wrong. And therefore, of course, you have to address that and you have to talk to them. But humility flies out of the window. You stray from humility that when after you talk about it, you discuss it, everything is okay, instead of you, and as life goes on, whenever he or she does that same mistake, we do not become hysterical, but we become historical. We always go back to that time that person did that again. Humility. My dear brothers and sisters, God always calls us to live that humble life. Why? Because he was an example of a humble life. He emptied himself. He took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. Although he could have done great things, but he decided to take our human condition and show us what it means to be a Christian. And whenever we are humble, my dear friends, it means that we have an open heart. We are willing to serve. There's always that desire to be of service to others, not to ourselves, but to others. When we are humble, as the saying goes, humility is the mother of all virtues. When you start to be humble, it opens you up to live a life of virtue, a life of patience, a life of understanding, a life of kindness, a life of generosity, a life of love. Which leads us to the second part. He says, when you invite people, do not invite those people that you know will repay you, but invite those people who will not be able to repay you. When it comes to charity, my dear friends, charity knows no bounds. Charity knows no limitations. It looks past ethnicity, age, religion, orientation. It looks past all these. And so when a person is humble, a person is willing to be charitable, to live a life of love. Because it's easy for us, right, to forgive those people who are close to us. It's easy for us to mingle with those people who we have known for so long. It's easy for us to forgive those people who have done wrong to us, but because you know them, it's just easier to forgive. But what about those you do not know, who did you wrong? All those people that you constantly cling to the anger because you have a difficulty of forgiving them. My dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to this kind of life. He wants us to be holy. He invites us to that wedding banquet. But at the same time, we also have to be reminded of the kind of disposition and preparation that we must do in order for us to enjoy the banquet. Our life, being a Christian, means being humble. And being humble means that desire and willingness to love, to be charitable, to be open. In this Mass, let us ask for that grace. It's easier said than done. I have spoken here for like 15 minutes, talking about humility and charity. So easy to say these things. But the challenge is for you to be able to live it out right after you step out of the church, as you start your week and spend time with family, friends, and co-workers. God be with you. So I basically do know when to stop, so. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible.